You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, April 12th, 2017, and this right here, this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside Matt Modica, Corey the Fantasy Executive Parson. My name is Greg Sussman, back from a one-day absence, and Corey, I saw yesterday you couldn't do it alone. You needed to bring in the old wily veteran out of the bullpen.
I had to bring in veteran out of bullpen, ball head stooge. The King Scott Angle. So there you go right there. We brought in the King. He sat down. He was dancing. He was doing his King thing. You know what I'm saying? We got some good information out there and stuff like that. So that's what's up.
Matt Modica, what was it like having the old school crew on the Roto Experts in the Morning outside of Georgia, of course?
It was a good time. We got to know a little about me, too, in the process. You know. It was a fun day.
I want to continue that at some point. When we left off, you were in Hollywood.
It was the story of Matt Modica.
Yeah, we was breaking down like where Matt Modica come from.
So while yesterday you were breaking down the story of where Matt Modica came from, I was learning the story of Passover. You know, it was great. You know, Moses went from a slave to being Moses. And then he left. He got, you know, he asked Pharaoh to let his people go. And then they got to Israel.
Yeah, no doubt. So,
I guess better late than never that you learned this.
you probably should have learned.
It's not that I learned it. It's that you got to tell a story every year, so you remember.
Who does the storytelling?
The entire table.
At the same time.
No, you read paragraph. Everyone reads a paragraph. Like I read a paragraph, and you would go read a paragraph, and Matt would read a paragraph. So you go all around the table.
Do. How old do you have to be to partake?
Everybody partakes.
So like. Kennedy.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That young?
That young.
Okay, that's cool.
In fact, Kennedy would be in charge of the four questions.
Really?
Yes. Because she's the youngest.
Where's my braces? No.
You know, oddly, that is not one of the questions.
No. Okay. Well, she was in charge of it. All right.
Yeah.
So okay, I didn't know. I didn't. This is a history. This is a history lesson for me. So I'm glad to hear everything went well, though. And shout out to everybody who was celebrating.
So there you go. I mean, we go until next Monday night. Monday night or Tuesday afternoon, I guess, is the end. We break on Tuesday night, which will be a big celebration for me.
All right, what you going to do?
I'm going to go out for dinner and eat a lot of pasta and bread.
No doubt.
Yeah. But until then, I want to diet.
Okay, very good, very good.
I was going to try and support the team.
But you've already broken.
Yeah, I had lunch with mom yesterday,
and that was it.
Sourdough with pastrami.
Sounds terrible.
You was going to go cobblers.
He was supporting
Rangers jersey on today.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's cool.
I'm wearing blue to support the Rangers today. Where's your blue?
Yeah, I'm not supporting the Rangers. I'm sorry. I wish them well, though.
That's nice of you.
I wish them well. They're playing the Canadiens, right?
Yep.
So that's pretty good right there. So I'm looking forward to... seeing who won the Stanley Cup. Hopefully it'd be like, oh.
Oh, there we go.
Excellent
producer.
I can't get involved in this either.
It's too much for you?
It's not what this is.
It's just like, let's go Rangers. Yeah. This is what they do at the Madison Square Garden.
I'm not into it.
Yeah?
You know, I'm into it, but I got other stuff going on.
Really?
Yeah, we got a big day today.
It's so cold when you're at the venue. And they have the ice underneath the basketball court. Now, I've been to some basketball courts that have the ice underneath it. It was very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, this happened a little while ago.
We had a big day here in the Fantasy Sports Network.
What's going on today?
We got the Foul Territory debuts tomorrow night.
Yeah, Foul Territory debuts tomorrow night. You know what I mean? It's my son, Albie Manzo. I mean, Chris Manzo, sorry. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It should be a good time. I'll be a part of that program. You know what I mean? Me... and some other people.
Show's not about you, Corey.
Oh, it's not. Oh,
oops.
Who knew?
Show's not about you, but we got that going on today. A lot of promotion for that, and of course, Chris will be on Gabe show tomorrow.
Okay.
Gabe Morrissey. Gabe Morrissey show.
Gabe Morrissey. That dude's the son of a gun.
He is.
Yeah. I'm a big Gabe fan at Sports Rage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chris will be on that show tomorrow at 2:40. Foul territory tomorrow night, gentlemen.
All right, so there you go. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be on Hot Roster today.
Not as exciting.
Not the same, no.
Not as exciting, but that's okay. So, speaking of foul territory... Sam Dyson kind of wishes a bunch of things went in foul territory yesterday.
Indeed.
They did not, Matt. They did not. You know, I went to bed, and the Rangers, the Texas Rangers, so don't play the song. The Texas Rangers were up 5-0 in this game, and I felt pretty strongly that that's kind of how the game was I don't know, going to end. Yeah, a couple of runs, but it was 5-0. The game was over for all intents and purposes. Well, 1-7. All right, makes sense. 1-8. Annoying, but no big deal. And then you bring in Sam Dyson. Didn't go well.
It did not go well at all.
One inning. Whole lot of hits. Whole lot of runs. Game over. Angels win. Angels win in the 10th inning. It was Sam Dyson first, allowing Danny Espinosa. Solo shot. Let another runner on. Mike Trout, RBI double. And then Albert Pujols, singles in Trout. Tie ball game, and then the Rangers fell apart after that. Cam Bedrosian gets a free win. That was nice. Having a very nice season thus far.
That's always a good thing.
Absolutely. As long as he keeps pitching well, Socha feels like his hands are tied. And the Rangers wind up falling to the Angels. An Angels team that I feel like no one's really talking about this. 6-2. Pretty good.
They are 6-2. They have won 3 games when trailing by 2 runs or more
inning?
In the ninth inning.
Crazy. Crazy. Corey, I feel you're not interested in the Sam Dyson conversation.
Well, you know what? This is what I'll say about it. I think the community is very smart in their analysis. Who were the two guys that came into the season that we were saying are in trouble?
Not Jenmar. We like Jenmar.
No, but I'm saying that was just me and you. The rest of the community was like, watch out for Jenmar and watch out for Sam Dyson.
Well, they also said Tony Watson, who's pitched okay.
He's pitched all right. I wouldn't get so crazy.
Oh, it's coming. They're pretty smart.
Yeah, I think his day's going to come.
They're pretty smart with this stuff.
Jenmar, we'll get to Jenmar in a second. Jenmar had another run last night. That son of a gun. Son of a gun.
He's
got to
feel terrible.
I feel
well,
terrible.
Well, I'll say this. Sam Dyson makes Jenmar look good.
Hey, okay, all right. Here's the question for you as we'll get into this Rangers Angels game right now. Is Sam Dyson today still the closer of the Texas Rangers?
I think Bannister's hand has been forced. I mean, maybe he tries to say one more time, but I just can't see it. This is a team that needs, they have playoff World Series expectations. I don't think it's Jeffers. I don't think he's that good, as I stated before. I think Matt Bush, who has allowed 2 runs in his 3 appearances, so he has not been
He hasn't earned anything.
But he is the superior arm of the 3, so I think he gets a crack. And if he does get it, if it is Bush, I think he takes a job and runs with it. I don't think there's any turning back. If it's Jeffers, I think
you're
that Bush eventually
Bush.
Will get it anyway.
So basically, to you, no matter what, you're picking up Matt Bush today, if he's available.
If he's available, I would pick him up. I did the spec on Sunday night. I think Sunday he allowed a run, which was good for me because maybe people kind of backed off.
Right.
And I bid $54, and the next bid was $29. So if he was if I didn't pick him up and he was still out there this week, it's probably going to cost about, say, you know, at least 20 to maybe as high as 40%.
Yeah, that was like 250 potentially. Mm-hmm. Sam Dyson is pitching 3 games thus far this season. The first one didn't go well, as we talked about. The second one was like an 8-1 game, so it was like, whatever. And then yesterday, on for a 3-run save, could not get the job done. We saw Pete Mackanin's hand was forced when it came to Jenmar Gomez, and it certainly seems like Jeff Bannister could be forced with Sam Dyson. Now, Jeremy Jeffers did come in the 10th inning. He got one out, and then it was just,
Why you don't like him?
He doesn't really have the swing and miss kind of stuff.
Did a nice job for Milwaukee last year.
For Milwaukee, he got the 27 saves. Like I said, that gives him a possibility, as you stated earlier, about the he has the experience kind of thing. But I think, you know, the Rangers are at a point where it's early in the season. I understand that. But you cannot, you know, you're 2-5. you don't want to be 2-10 at some point. You got to start closing out games that you have leads in, especially big leads. And this has been a reoccurring theme.
Absolutely. And especially games that you get this from Cole Hamels, right? 7 innings, 4 hits, just 1 run. Did walk 4. He struck out 5. Hamels off to a solid start here this season. You don't want to blow those games from your ace because you have Yu Darvish, you have Cole Hamels. And besides those two guys, you don't know what else you have in that rotation. You have to win these types of games.
Exactly. That's a great point, Chris. You know, after those two, it's pretty much a hit or miss. You know, you're pretty much, you know, rolling dice.
Preseason, spring training favorite, Tyler Skaggs goes 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, couple of walks, 5 strikeouts for the Angels. Through 2 games, the ERA sits at 8.71. Basically, almost the same exact start, 2 games in a row for Tyler Skaggs. 5 1/3 last week against Oakland, also allowed 5 runs, also struck out 5 guys, allowed 3 more hits last night, basically 2 of the same exact lines here from Tyler Skaggs. Modiga, what do you take away from Skaggs? Is he someone that we should be running with right now?
I think he's talented, but the talent needs to translate. 10 earned runs and 2 starts to begin the season is not an ideal situation.
It's also a slow start.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you bench him, depending upon how deep a league you're in. I mean, if you're in a shallow league, he probably shouldn't even be on your roster, being honest. Mm.
Corey, let me ask you this. We just talked about how Jeff Bannister's hand was forced, or potentially forced, with Sam Dyson. Is his hand about to be forced to Carlos Gomez as well? He's led off for most of the season. Last night, in a game where the Rangers were hitting the ball pretty well, certainly at the top of the order, in Andres Mazara and Napoli. But Carlos Gomez at the very top of the order, 0-for-5, he struck out 4 times last night. The golden sombrero for Carlos Gomez. Is he going to be dropped from the lineup? Should he be dropped out of our lineups?
He can't. Carlos Gomez can play. It's taking a little time for him to get it together right now, but he's been atrocious to start the season. Batting average is 111. Another 0-for-5 last night. Strikes out 4 times for Mr. Gomez. We know how talented he is, but he's been inconsistent in showing that. Or you can say consistent in showing that the talent that is not there, the player that we once thought he was going to be. I think you still got to remain patient with him, but more than likely he's not going to be batting at the top of this lineup if he has another week of these type of poor performances.
Yeah, I think, like what Corey said, I think the leash is going to be longer. Maybe they move him down in the order, you know, take some pressure off and just see what happens there. What I was kind of pissed off about was the line of the Shields came in as a pinch runner and got caught stealing. But I'm not dropping the line of the Shields just yet. A speed guy like that just needs an opportunity, and, you know, 25, 30 steals could happen.
So you're not dropping away? You benching him at this point, or are you letting him figure stuff out?
Okay. The line of the Shields is on my bench.
I'm talking about Carlos Gomez.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Carlos Gomez, it's kind of tough to bench him. It's been a week. What happens if you say the rest of this week, you know, he gets hot, hits like 3 homers, steals a couple of bases. You don't want to take all that bad stuff and then miss all the good stuff.
Sure. I guess I just get concerned when I see when I see a lineup do really, really well and the guy at the top of that lineup, it goes 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. He just bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
You look at the Mets. I mean, they moved Jose Reyes Saturday. He was like 1-for-27. You know, you got to do, sometimes, you know, you got to shake it up a little bit.
The rest of the Rangers, as I said, performed really well. We talked about Elvis Andres moving up in the order. We had asked for that, and I was like, I don't see it happening. I don't know why. We've done this Andres thing before. It's not going to happen. And there he was last night, batting second, I believe the second night in a row. And Andres hits his 2nd home run of the year, a solo shot off of Tyler Skaggs. Nomar Mazara just continues to dominate, was 2-for-5. And Mike Napoli hits his, I believe Napoli had a really good night because he had a couple of RBIs, one RBI, but he seemed like he was on base all night. He was 2-for-5, while Johnny Lucroy hit his 1st home run of the year. He was tremendous, 3-for-5. He had the 3 RBIs. He was pinched, ran 4 by Delino DeShields, and then caught stealing was Delino DeShields. We also found out when it came to the Rangers that Joey Gallo is not going anywhere for a while, Corey, as Adrian Beltre didn't just re-aggravate that right calf. It's basically like he injured it all over again. Beltre is starting from scratch. We're not going to see Adrian Beltre for a little while here.
Oh, you think I don't notice? He's on my Cowboys team.
Why do you think I'm asking you?
This is horrific.
Yeah.
This is disgusting. So now you got, now Ronis has cursed me with Adrian Beltre. This guy can play, you know, back of the baseball card guy. He was able to play in the WBC. Seemed like he's not able to play for the Texas Rangers now. I don't like this situation right here. So that means that Joey Gallo is going to continue to get opportunities. And you know what? I think Gallo takes advantage of it.
I think Gallo looks like a different player from years past, where he would just come up, take three hacks, and be done.
Yeah, like Brock, the dude in Minnesota.
I mean, Byron Buxton.
Yeah,
I do have Adrian Beltre in my New York main. My New York main is kind of like Corey's Trout team. Yeah. I got like four guys on the DL right now. I mean, I lost Gene Segura the other day as well. But in that game, what we haven't touched on, is in the 10th inning, Mike Trout just made a game... saving, it would have been a game tying, but he just robbed the home run, but made it look so nonchalant.
Well, that's what he does. He's the best player in baseball for a reason here.
And that was off of Mike Napoli.
Yes, it was. Mike Trout was 2-for-5 at the plate, scored a couple of runs at the RBI we talked about. Good night from UNL Escobar as well, 3-for-4. How about UNL Escobar batting 455? Why is nobody talking about UNL Escobar?
Because he's not going to bat this the whole season.
Had a nice year last year, dude.
Yeah, the last 2 years, he's batted over 300. I put in a bid for him, and I didn't put any money next to it. I have to put the money.
That happens.
Bid never went off, and my Adrian Beltre is still in my lineup, unfortunately.
So should for those of us that have UNL Escobar available in our league, should we be picking him up?
I would say it has to be like 12-team at least, and you really have to have minimal options. I think he's a really good... He's a better major league player in a 15-team
that
I'm playing in. Yes, he should be owned right now. The average is there. He's going to score some runs. He doesn't offer a lot other things, but like for me, I'm really pissed off at myself. I screwed up that fab this week. I didn't put any money next to it, and I didn't get him.
Is that the only player you did that for?
This week, yes.
Oh, but you've done this in the past.
I mean, it does happen. If you have, multiple teams sometimes, you'll forget to put a bid in.
Trust me, I was going
to
hire somebody.
It is unexcusable, though.
Yeah.
It is an unexcusable action. I don't care. If you're playing that many teams, you have to be on the ball. And I actually thought this week I was. I started the whole process.
Not so much.
Much earlier.
Not so much. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back.
I had a question when we come back.
Well, Corey asks a question to the round table or the square rectangular table. We'll do that next here on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
Join.
Fantasy executive, you had a question.
Yeah, and this is kind of why this instrumental is playing right now. Hey, so do you're familiar with Chris Brown, right?
Yes.
This is a man question. Matt Medica, you're familiar with Chris Brown?
That's the Rihanna Chris Brown.
Yeah, same cat.
Hello, it's crazy because he'll always be recognized by a lot of
people.
And
even though he's a good musician that makes like a lot of hit music and stuff like that,
but he'll always be the Rihanna Chris Brown.
He's always like going to be like the Rihanna Chris Brown, right? So this is a man question. We got plenty of baseball talk. We'll talk about your closers and who to stack in Colorado in a minute. So Chris Brown, right, has this girlfriend that he had for a long time, Karrueche Tan.
Sure.
Have you heard of her?
I don't know her.
Matt, it's nice.
That I have not.
So he get like they don't go together no more. You feel what I'm saying?
They broke up.
They broke up. It happens. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You pick yourself up, but you know it's more efficient. It's plenty of fish in the sea. You feel what I'm saying? That was a cliche. Scott wouldn't like that. So Breezy, that's what Chris Brown is known as, Breezy. Whenever like somebody like you know in the industry you know makes a comment about Karrueche, he gets upset, right? So it come to find out his home, like one of his friends, Quavo from Migos, was spotted leaving a Migos performance with Karrueche. So that's like, so Breezy is upset because he's like, yo, you supposed to be my homeboy. Hey, you dating my ex lady. You slide with my ex lady. You know what I'm saying? I agree with Breezy on this one.
I don't agree with Chris Brown on many things, but I will agree with him on this.
Yeah. What if something happened with you and Judy, and then like Florio started dating her? Yeah, that would suck.
No, it's not nice.
No, it's not.
It's not nice.
I don't know. I just.
But you know what? I'm sorry. I can't. Like, I don't support Chris Brown and whatever. So I'm done.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. I understand.
I mean, I can't like you know. I'm not going to feel bad for Chris Brown in any way.
No. I'm not feeling bad for him either. You know what I'm saying? He's got plenty of money. He'll be fine.
Plenty of money. Plenty of demons, you know.
Yeah. He'll be fine. I'm just saying, you know, as a male, I think that, you know, that's like the thing with Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I do not like it. Don't like it. I think men should respect each other more.
Okay.
brotherhood. You've seen this break up teams before. People have to get traded because of stuff like this.
Well, Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell played next to each other all year.
But they didn't do that stuff like that.
I mean, basically, D'Angelo Russell ended Nick Young's.
Yeah, but he didn't go start dating a woman after that.
Like, you don't. Maybe he did.
I don't like it.
Would it shock you if you found out D'Angelo Russell was hooking up with Iggy Azalea?
That's not nice.
I would be shocked.
I always see the good in people. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of my problems.
Yeah.
I always see the good in people.
The glass is half full.
Yeah, I'm a glasses half full type guy.
Glass of you.
Yeah, that's all I was saying about that. So I found that to be interesting because I don't like when people take advantage of their friends.
You good?
Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to mention what happened at Citizens Bank. I was right outside of Philly yesterday. So I'm sitting during our Passover Seder number two.
Oh, y'all had two?
That's why I was, Monday, Tuesday night. That's why I was
there yesterday. Oh, okay.
Monday night, Tuesday night. So we're sitting during Passover Seder number two.
Because you got down there in time enough.
Right, because I left to make sure I was there. Monday night was the big one.
Yeah.
Monday night's the big one. I actually found out something crazy. We only have a second night because back in the day, people didn't know what time it was in Israel, so they wanted to make sure they covered both of them.
Why didn't they know what time it was in Israel?
It was many, many years ago. They couldn't figure out time.
Okay.
Clocks weren't invented yet.
Probably not. So we have two nights. And the second night, afterwards, you turn on the Phillies. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and everyone's kind of walking around. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, man. And they just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. And it all revolved around Yoenis Cespedes. We had 4 for 5, 4 for 6, 3 runs scored, 5 RBIs. 3 of those 4 hits, they left the ballpark, Corey Barson.
Yeah, Yoenis Cespedes, carry a big stick. You already know when he gets hot and rocking and rolling, he can carry offensively, he can carry a team by himself. So good day for his owners right there. This should probably shoot them right up to the top of the standings. This is a big offensive production. Probably the biggest one we've seen so far. Yeah, definitely the biggest one we've seen so far this season.
Absolutely, because not only was there, 14 runs put up, but there was about 4,000 home runs in this game. 3 from Cespedes. You had 2 from Lucas Duda. That's 5. 1 from Esdrubal Cabrera. That's 6. You had 1 from Darnot. That's 7. Is that it? Am I missing any? No, I think that's it. That's a lot of home runs, Rodica.
That is a lot of home runs. I was ecstatic about the Cespedes outburst. I own multiple shares of him. So, it's like I said, it's week one we haven't really even played 10 games yet. And people are looking at box scores and seeing, 148 averages and getting nervous. If you have guys that have proven it over time, have a track record, as Corey says, back in a baseball card, you just leave them alone. It's April.
So The Mets in general, obviously, it was an incredible night for them. They just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. The one potential annoyance was obviously Matt Harvey pitching pretty well. I mean, when you're up 14-0, it's easy. 5 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, struck out 6, he walked 1. But he did leave this game early with some hamstring tightness. Now, they're saying it was just a cramp, it was no big deal. They're up 14-2 or whatever, so it's like no big deal. But is there any concern with Harvey here?
Yes, I'd be concerned for the fact that the Mets and their medical history is very dubious, number one. Number two, Harvey says he's definitely going to make the start. I heard Trey Turner was only going to miss 2 or 3 days. With this 10-day DL, there is a possibility that they say, let's just put him on that for now. He missed one start.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to remain optimistic, but I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up on a 10-day deal.
Okay, and that sounds right. And again, that might not be something we forget about because it's one start. And maybe no starts, but the way the order of the rotation is not a big deal. So I definitely could see that, Matt. I think that's a good point you bring up. Over for the Phillies, speaking of guys that are going to be on the DL, Clay Buchholz is one of them, a forearm strain. Pitched 2 1/3. He got blasted. Then he came out of the game. Then Adam Morgan got blasted. This Phillies pitching staff didn't get the job done last night. Neither did Genmar.
That box score is pretty amazing for the Phillies.
Right, this is like, wow. Had a lot of writing to do.
Yeah. Miguel Franco hit a home run.
That he did. I mean, his owner's got to be happy. If you're a Tommy Joseph owner, maybe be a little nervous.
Be nervous, okay.
I know there's a movement in Philadelphia. The fan base there is really pushing for Max Stassi. Oh, not Max.
Brock Stassi.
Brock Stassi, excuse me. He homered the night before.
I watched that. It was the ninth inning. So yes. I was in Philadelphia.
Nice shot.
So I was able to watch that.
Hopefully Tommy Joseph can get on track. I think he's still going to get some opportunities. But it's, a guy like Joseph is a guy you got to monitor, especially if a guy like Stassi starts, you know, starts hitting the ball, hitting some home runs. You know, something to keep your eye on.
The, yeah, when Joseph is batting 087.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's going to help it.
That's bad. If you're in a standard 12-team league, Corey, you're going to drop Tommy Joseph at this point?
Nah, in the 12-team?
Standard 12-team league. 087, dude.
Still, it's still too early to drop him.
I'm out.
Yeah.
He, I mean,
standard 12-team league, 087. I'm out.
I mean, he's droppable in a 12-team. I wouldn't necessarily, unless I have, you know, maybe if like CJ Cron is out there,
okay,
maybe I take him. Otherwise, if I have a bench spot for him and I have another first baseman or corner that I could use for the time being, I'd probably give him at least another week.
You're nice. You're a nicer man than I am. There's another guy we're gonna get to. We talked about him on Monday, on the Fantasy BFFs as someone that like is also really struggling. In fact, we're gonna get to him on the other side of the break. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back right after this. Back here, Roto Experts in the Morning. So I mentioned that, listen, I'm kind of out on this Tommy Joseph, dude. Like, enough. But in a standard 12-team league, without keepers, I have to ask, and I know I'm going to get probably yelled at for this, but that's okay. Is it time to be done with Tim Anderson also?
Tim Anderson? Is the what?
What do you mean what? He's 0-4 yesterday in the loss to the Indians, a 2-1 defeat. He's batting 192 with an OBP of 192. With a slugging percentage of, you guessed it, 192. On the season, Tim Anderson, I believe, is 5-26, I want to say. That's very bad, Corey.
We've not even played 10 games, like Matt said earlier.
So
give the man a chance to warm up.
5-26. He's got 2 runs, 1 RBI. He struck out 8 times.
You know how good of a player
he is. He has 5 singles. He doesn't have a single extra base hit.
And you know how good of a player he is. He has a track record, a little bit of a track record. Everybody expects big things from him. They're not going to give up on him. Why should you?
Because he's maybe he sucks.
He doesn't suck.
How do you say that? What do you know?
He doesn't suck.
Well, you know that. He's he's slugging.
He didn't suck last year.
He's got 5 singles on the year.
He played in 5 damn games. Give him a chance.
I'll say this as a Tim Anderson supporter. And in a 15-team league, he should not be cut at all. If you're in a 12-team league, you want to cut him, I guess that's fine if you got like a guy like Chris Owens and there's other guys right now, like Asdrubal Cabrera is killing it. So, I mean, there's other options right now. But the reason you have Tim Anderson and why I try and bench him before cutting him, one, he is going to play. He just signed that long-term deal. So he's not going anywhere. The White Sox have nobody. So he's one of their future pieces. But the reason you drafted Tim Anderson is for speed. And Tim Anderson can steal 30 bases with the blink of an eye. The dude is super fast. So I personally wouldn't rush to cut him. I'd put him on the bench in a 12-team redraft. If you must, then okay. But just remember, if he steals like 34 bases at the end of the season,
I hope he does. I hope you lose to the person that picked him up.
It's not very nice of you.
No, well, it's not nice of you to cut Tim Anderson and after 2 damn games.
It's false. I cut him after 6 damn games.
No.
Well, who did you pick him up? Who did you pick up?
You cut him already?
Yeah. I cut him.
Well, who was the replacement?
I picked up. I don't want to tell you guys.
You picked up somebody crazy, didn't you? Who'd you pick up, Greg?
I don't want to tell you who I picked up. What does it matter?
Oh, it matters.
Does it?
Yes, it does. Who'd you pick up?
I picked up a starter for today.
Who'd you pick up, Greg?
Kyle Freeland, pitching Colorado today.
Woo! And I picked up Kyle Freeland in a 15-team league, maybe one or two spots. I paid like $4.
Yeah.
But I did that as a... He's on my bench. It's a find out and see.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a... You know, strikeouts in the minor. He did look very good.
I watched. You know what it is? You know, to be honest, why I did it? So I've watched a lot of baseball over the last week.
Because your feelings were hurt.
No. I watched, because I own Nolan Arenado, and last week Colorado played the Dodgers. I own Corey Seager, and I own Nolan Arenado everywhere. I own these two guys. So I watched the Dodgers-Rockies game, and I watched Kyle Freeland pitch, and he looked really good. And then, because he looked really good, I wanted to own him. So now I do.
To the expense of Tim Anderson, though?
Right.
Well, remember about a week ago, he was ready to cut Yasmani Tomas.
I didn't do that, though. Yeah, well, but I did cut Tim Anderson.
You were talked out of that. You were very eager.
Yes. Yes, I was. But
I would keep an eye on Tim Anderson.
Greg, you need to work on your patience.
I don't have patience.
Yeah. You have to start. You got to do a better job.
Tasmania is not a patient.
I have no loyalty. I don't stay loyal to these guys for so long. Where I just wait till June 1st. And wait till a guy kills my team before I drop
him. Because Kyle Freeland is really going to be Mickey Damn Mantle.
No, but he's a pitcher.
I understand.
No.
You know what I'm saying, Greg.
But in his defense.
Tom Seaver.
In a Yahoo 12-team redraft.
Yes.
That I did play. It was even a keeper league. I mean, I would churn and burn a lot of players myself in that type of format.
Thank you, Matt.
Which you can pick up every day.
Yeah.
So
every damn day.
It's not a weekly thing where if you cut a guy, you can't get him until next week and you got a bid on
him. I can pick up Tim Anderson tomorrow if I want.
You should. I wish I knew one of your league mates.
I don't want to. You do. I'm not going to tell you.
I remember his homeboy's name, though. He had on the Cubs hat.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so now I'm not gonna let you tell them.
I wonder if he follow me on Twitter.
He probably does. You're a fantasy executive.
Yeah, I'm just
and a fantasy exec on Twitter. I don't have anybody else to drop, and I wanted to pick this guy up. I wanted to see if Kyle Freeland's any good. He's pitching in Colorado today. Pretty good start for him.
So you're starting him today?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Against the Padres.
I mean, the Padres do have some hitters. They got Will Myers.
Yeah, but Kyle Freeland's going to strike him out, Matt.
This game is in Colorado, Greg.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing
is from Denver.
If I'm going to play devil's advocate with Kyle Freeland,
I don't want you to.
Is the Dodgers were notoriously horrible against left-handed pitching last season,
and so are the Padres.
And I'm just trying to, you know,
I mean that. I have no idea if that's true.
They did bring in Logan Forsythe, who mashes lefties, and he did nothing. So,
yeah, for the White Sox yesterday. Speaking of first time hitting an extra base hit this season. That's what Todd Frazier did. Todd Frazier's first home run of the year, also his first extra base hit. 143 the average is for Todd Frazier, who finally goes deep.
Finally.
What? Yeah.
The sixth game of the season, he's saying finally.
Yeah. Avisaíl García got caught stealing for the second time, but Avisaíl García, my guy, batting 435, Corey.
Yeah, he's batting 435 right now.
Yeah.
So temper your expectations. We know what Avisaíl is. He's supposed to be Baby Miggy, not so much.
Well, Avisaíl García, I think, is going to stop running pretty soon because he's 0-for-2 in the
stolen base department. Jimmy Shields, 5 1/3, 2 hits, 1 run, strikeout 6. Impressive performance from James Shields because lineups don't get much better than the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, no, you have to take notice.
Tip of cap.
Yes, I have to agree. As somebody that, you know, didn't touch James Shields this draft season or in any auctions. You know, if you're in an AL only and you did take James Shields, you are loving life right now.
Yeah, I don't know who owns James Shields. I don't know anybody that does. But yeah.
AL only, he was a guy that was.
Yes. The Indians also got a very good pitching performance yesterday from Carlos Carrasco. 7 innings, 7 strikeouts, just 1 run, 4 hits. And the bullpen, as expected, was stellar. You had an inning from Andrew Miller, a couple of hits, but no big deal. Cody Allen, a perfect ninth with striking out all 3 guys he faced. Boone Logan came in and got an out. Brian Shaw comes in and gets the last 2 and picks up the win for Cleveland in extras.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Ed E is batting 185.
Yes.
You can cut him?
No.
All right. Why not?
He's more of a tracker than Tim Anderson. He does. Like, that's not arguable.
No, it's not arguable, but I'm just saying how quick you are on the trigger when the player is performing poorly to start the season.
Tim Anderson has 0 walks and 0 extra base hits.
He does have terrible plate discipline.
Horrible plate difference.
We knew that coming into the season.
That was the one thing we all knew. That was the one worry. But before we get off this, Carlos Carrasco, as you said, a strong
very
performance.
Good.
I was very happy with my Carlos Carrasco shares because as we saw towards the end of spring, he had that swollen elbow and things are looking good.
It's good to see him pitching well and pitching deep into games as well. For the Indians, Francisco Lindor, one of the hotter hitters in baseball, his 4th home run of the season. He's batting 308, 406 OBP.
Well, so he can play.
Yeah, he's good, yeah. Carlos Santana's come back down to earth here the last couple of games. He was 0-for-4 at the top of the lineup last night. Michael Brantley went 1-for-3. Jose Ramirez, he's got to pick it up. I'm getting annoyed at him, too.
You got to be patient.
I'm not dropping him. I'm saying I'm getting annoyed.
But you got to be patient. Lindor last season, I think it took him to game 46 before he hit his fourth homer. I think he's got 4-7 now. So
I can't get annoyed at players.
Oh, you can definitely get annoyed.
Why?
But it bothers me because I want to see you be more patient, Greg.
It's not going to happen.
But I want to see it. You need more patience with these players, Greg. This is not just about you.
It is about me, actually. That's precisely what it's about, to be honest with you.
All right.
Precisely.
I will cut him credit. In a daily pickup league, you can...
No loyalty, Corey. No loyalty.
All right. If you want to do it that way, Greg, by all means, go ahead.
And how about this? Even after last night's outing for Keon Broxton, I put him on the bench today. Because I can. How about that?
Yeah, that's understood.
Who's pitching today? Why is he on the bench?
Marcus Stroman is pitching today. And Keon Broxton, I like Keon Broxton when he bats second, which is against lefties. And last night, Keon Broxton went 2-for-5 in Milwaukee's 4-3 victory over Toronto. 2 runs scored, but he's struck out 3 times still. And you're going to say, well, you knew that when you were drafting Keon Broxton, he's going to do that.
But he also homered and stole a base.
This is Keon Broxton. Last night was Keon Broxton. Struck out 3 times, got on base and stole a base, and he had a home run in the first inning. That is literally the definition of Keon Broxton.
You are 100% correct. I'm pretty happy that I went. I only own a couple of shares of Keon Broxton, but in those instances, I had to make the choice between Keon Broxton or Byron Buxton. I went Broxton for the fact that Milwaukee just runs crazy. So hopefully that one pays off. I do think Buxton will turn things around.
My man Travis Shaw went 1-for-5, while Domingo Santana hit his second home run of the year as Matt Modica fist pumps from the other side of the table. He says, Aguilar got a hit. Once again, no Eric Thames in this lineup.
Jesus Aguilar is pissing me off, man. I thought I was getting first base eligibility with Eric Thames and Leon.
Forget eligibility. You're not getting a guy that plays.
Yeah, no, this is pissing me. Like I said, this is not an ideal situation. I really needed him to get first base eligibility in that New York main I was talking about because I have all these injuries.
Right.
You know, I got like Victor Martinez on my bench and guys, good players on my bench that I can't put in right now because I can't shuffle guys around.
Corey,
hamstringing you.
You got Ryan Braun. He stole his first base of the year. I got a question for you, another lineup question for you. If you played in a one catcher league, which exists, mm-hmm. right? Would you drop Russell Martin? Mr. Patience over here. Can I give you Russell Martin's season so far?
Go ahead.
So last night he was 0-for-4. He also struck out 3 times. Now I told you just a second ago that Tim Anderson was 5-for-26 with 5 singles. Do you know how many singles Russell Martin has this year?
3?
No, 0.
Oh boy.
Russell Martin does not have a hit in 2017.
On the season?
No.
He's off to a slow start.
Not a single hit this season. If you're in a one catcher league, would you drop Russell Martin?
Is he striking out a lot?
Would you like to be, hold on, I'll give you the exact line. Hold on 1 second. Russell Martin, here we go. On the season, your boy Russell Martin is 0-for-18 with 7 strikeouts. He has scored 2 runs, though.
I don't think you cut him. you bench him.
So now you're going to hold 2 catchers, then?
Huh?
So in a one-catcher league, you're going to pick up a second catcher and hold on to Russell Martin.
Russell Martin can play, though. He's going to turn it around. Russell Martin plays better when it get warm outside.
Okay. So you're going to just go through this with Russell Martin.
Russell Martin has a track record, like Modica said about the other player.
Tim Anderson?
Homeboy, not Tim Anderson.
I don't know who you're talking about then.
You know what I mean.
I don't. Anyway.
In a one-catcher league, like when I played the Yahoo 12-team format, a lot of times I wouldn't even have a catcher on my roster.
Really?
I mean, I won a league with putting a catcher in like half a season.
Why did you do that? What was the reason behind it?
I mean, I'd rather have the other players and stuff. I'd rather have, you know, other options. I just hate taking catchers in general. But in your situation...
Not mine. I don't own Russell Martin.
I'm saying, but if you owned him,
thank God,
I would say you could cut him, pick up who's ever hot now, and then there's going to be somebody back there. Of course, there's only 12. People are only going to own 12 catchers.
I like what you're
if somebody,
here.
If somebody
After
in your
all
league,
these years,
I like this style.
If somebody in your league is holding 2 catchers, they're doing it wrong.
Right.
In a one catcher league.
Right. See, he doesn't care. He'll just cut anybody.
He won't just cut anybody.
Yes, he will. Cut Russell Martin over 18.
Okay. No, you bench Russell Martin. You don't. Well, then you can't. You're right. You can't carry 2 catchers in a one catcher league. That's ridiculous.
Kendrys Morales went 3-for-4 yesterday. Morales was backed by Troy Tulowitzki with 2-for-3, three ribbies, including a double for Troy Tulowitzki. Good news, so Josh Donaldson pinch hit yesterday. A little scare over the weekend with that hamstring, but pinch hit yesterday. Feeling good.
Roberto Ozuna came back.
Ozuna comes back as well. He pitches in the ninth inning for Toronto, held the lead close, and he was able to get one hit, one strikeout. He looks healthy. Jason Grilli pitched the eighth. Bullpen did a really actually nice job for Toronto. At the Jay Hack goes just 4 2/3, 9 hits, 4 runs. Did strike out 8, though. The bullpen, other than that, allowed 0 runs, struck out a bunch of guys.
J.A. Happ and Michael Pineda on the season have pitched 11 innings. Once pitched 11 and a third, once pitched 11 and 2/3. They both have 17 strikeouts and 0 walks.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Willie Peralta, six innings, 5 hits, 3 runs for Milwaukee. Naftali Feliz, perfect for his second save.
Speaking of Feliz, he's the guy to focus on from last night. I did not see his performance. I believe it was Derek Van Riper who tweeted out he was touching 100. I think he even hit 101.
Naftali Feliz.
I saw Chris Vaccaro respond that the...
Radar gun was broken.
His slider pretty much buckled somebody's knees. So, if you're a Corey Knebel owner, I think it's kind of hard to hold on. The Brewers want Feliz to succeed as well, and they probably want to flip him at the deadline.
You know that I wonder what's making him his velocity pop like that.
I don't know.
Well, the one thing about velocity, to be a little skeptical on some of these upticks, is the new StatCast way that they changed. Yep. So everybody's kind of getting a little bump.
I remember talking about that. Yeah.
They're judging the ball. Is Corey Schwartz coming Thursday?
Corey Schwartz will be here tomorrow to talk about that. Would you hear that day when we, or was that?
I was here because they're judging the ball at a different spot.
The gun is picking it up differently.
At an earlier spot than what it previously was. Was it sports psychologist? Did I miss the sports psychologist?
No. We're still working. He's got some other things because, you know, he works for a franchise too. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, I he works for a franchise. And that, so the fantasy thing is like, whoa, what's going on? You feel what I mean?
All right. Yeah. So, will you talk him into it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. Take a break. We'll come back. Corey keeps preaching patience, right? And I'm obviously the opposite. So, Matt, you're like the level-headed one. You're in the middle. So, I laughed out for Tim Anderson. Corey bit his tongue and said, all right, you got to keep Russell Martin, even though I don't want to. And you were like, whatever, who cares? I got one more for you. And I know you're going to love it, Corey.
Who is it?
Oh, you'll find out right after the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Patience is all Corey wants to tell me, right? You're all about patience, right?
Yeah, be patient with your players. They're patient with you.
Are they? I don't know, man. Sorry, it's a lie. Would you keep a guy that is 2-for-29 with 17 strikeouts on the year? Are you patient enough for that?
What's his track record?
Top prospect.
What the back of the baseball card say?
He's young. He's 23 years old. Top prospect, though.
Well, see, that's the thing.
So I'm asking you, Modico. Okay. I'm asking Mr. Patience over here.
All right, so...
He's 2-for-29 with 17 strikeouts on the year.
What's his playing time? What's his at-bat situation?
Plays every day. Starting for his team. Every day.
Is he in a situation where...
His team's not that good.
Is he in a situation where he can lose the job easily, or is he going to be a fixture in the lineup?
Should be a fixture in the lineup. 2-for-29, 17 strikeouts, no runs, no home runs, no RBIs, no stolen bases.
With no track record.
But he's top prospect. That's the track record for you. Top prospect.
I think you consider cutting this gentleman.
You can cut it. You can consider cutting
this gentleman. Depending on who he is. Who is he?
Matt, would you cut this gentleman?
I would not cut Byron Buxton.
You wouldn't cut Byron Buxton.
I mean, first off, you invested.
Funny! Get hits.
Okay, but you have a bench too. You have a bench. You have a guy that
he don't
has
think
world
he have a damn
class
bench.
Speed. He does. We haven't even seen it on the major league level yet.
Because he didn't get on base.
That's correct. But you know they're going to be patient with him this year. They moved him down in the lineup. He should have never been batting third. That was a Paul Molitor mistake right there. The kid should never have had that pressure on him. Look, he had a nice September. He was still striking out, but he did have a nice September. It's why put the kid in that situation. I think he's batting seventh. He should probably be batting ninth. But put him on your bench and put somebody else in there and see how it goes.
Over three strikeouts yesterday. against Detroit. Matt Boyd, six innings,
he
one
got
hit.
Pinch hit in the ninth inning.
He got pinch hit in the ninth inning. That's right. They were like, oh, screw this. We'll bring in Max Kepler and see what he could do. He got out one pitch. Matt Boyd, at least it takes three pitches for Byron Buxton to get out. Matt Boyd, six innings, one hit, two walks, six strikeouts. Boyd had a really good, I don't want to say really good spring. He had a good spring, earned this job over Anibal Sanchez. Didn't pitch well in his first start, and his second start really came back and pitched well against Minnesota here.
Well, Boyd's a deep league pitcher. I mean, he's a deep league option for. And like I said, he had a bad first outing. He bounced back yesterday. I mean, these guys that you're taking late, you know, you either got to be patient with, or you got to just play matchups and see how it works out. Like we mentioned, Tyler Skaggs before. I mean, I think Tyler Skaggs is a much higher ceiling than Matt Boyd, but Matt Boyd has made some changes. He's looking pretty. You know, he looked pretty good in the spring, as you mentioned. So these are guys that aren't your base guys, but guys that are more matchups right now.
You had Justin Wilson pitch the eighth, which we expected. You talked about that on Monday. Look out for Justin Wilson. And K-Rod made things interesting in the ninth, man. Not a whole bunch of hits. A lot of run. Got out of it.
He has that leash, you know, but I would be speculating on Justin Upton because Justin Wilson. I think K-Rod, every time I've watched him this season, he looks done.
I mean,
he really looks bad.
Hector Santiago is one of these guys. He doesn't check anybody out. He's not fun for fantasy, but I feel like he's not a bad pitcher.
He's like the magic man. He's just consistently outpitching his peripherals.
Oh, he's like Marco Estrada.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Marco Estrada is better. But
I agree with that, but I owned Hector Santiago a couple of years ago. He was really good.
No, he has. And even last year, he was good for a while, and then it all came to fruition. Yeah, it all caught up to him. But, I mean, it's tough with guys like Hector Santiago. Of course, they lull you into that false sense of security.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I'm going to put him out there, and he gets a couple of good starts for you, and then he just gets destroyed. Or, you know, starts. And the key thing with guys like this is after a bad start or so, you have to cut bait. You could ride him for a while, but you can't keep saying, well, it's going to. He's been good the other times.
So yeah. You learn to cut so bait. After this, would you own Hector Santiago right now?
In a deep league, yes. I think I caught him in one of my deep leagues this week. I think I went for the Jimmy Nelson experience.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm kind of high on... I mean, not that I'm high, but I'm intrigued
by
Nelson.
Right, you said that last week. Yep. So would you rather own Hector Santiago or James Shields, we just spoke about?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. You know what? I might take a shot on Shields.
That's interesting, because I was going to say Santiago, because I felt like, and maybe this is just wrong, I felt like there's a bigger chance of Shields getting blown up than Santiago. Like, I feel like Shields is always prone to the long ball. I feel like Hector Santiago will kind of just keep you in the game.
Yeah, no, you could possibly be right on that one. I just think Shields is, you know, he's been a good pitcher in the past. He was just god-awful last season. And as you state, the long ball is his... you know, he's got to watch out for that, especially in U.S. Cellular or Guaranteed Rate Field now, whatever the hell it's called. But I'm just going to take, if I've got to choose between those two, I might be more willing to go with the Shields option.
What about you, Corey, if you had to break our tie?
The Shields. Shields.
How come?
Because I don't like the home run thing.
And then you should take Santiago.
I mean, I meant to say Santiago. I don't like the home run, because that's a way to get you...
It's the way you get hurt.
Faster. You feel what I'm saying?
I feel you. I feel you there. Second Santiago, James Shields, as we said, they're very comparable guys for different reasons. Guys that, and Modigo really said it right, you don't get comfortable with either of them.
Yeah.
Because once they blow up, once, maybe twice, don't hold on for dear life with these guys. These are not guys that even Corey Parson will tell you to be patient with.
No. These are guys that you get
the Greg Sussman rule should be in effect. Cut immediately.
In and out. You line up. You know what I'm saying?
So on the other side of the break, at the top of the hour, we have to talk about this absurdly astounding statistic, and it comes from the Seattle and Houston game. And I wanted to get here because I want to talk about my man Joe Musgrove, obviously, who doesn't pitch nearly as well as Charlie Morton or James Paxton. But I want to talk about Joe Musgrove anyway. But my stat doesn't revolve around him. It revolves around Houston's leadoff hitter, George Springer. It's a crazy stat. Corey, if you don't know it, you're going to be damn impressed with me.
Good. I'm glad to hear this.
You excited for it?
I am pretty excited about George Springer.
George Springer here, I'll give you a little tease. George Springer has 9 hits on the season.
Yep.
All right.
4 of them are home runs?
5 of them are home runs.
Wow.
5 of his 9 hits are home runs. But I'm going to get even deeper with you. On the other side of the break, I'm going to astound you. Be ready to be shocked, surprised, astounded when we come back. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Roto Experts in the Morning, hour number 2 with you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson.
Yo.
Matty Mo.
Let's go Rangers.
Then Dan Strafford. Last night in Colorado. Last night in Colorado.
Go one more hour with you here.
Jared Reaver was supposed to get blown up. He did not. What's your Fantasy Sports Radio Network update? I'm Dan Strafford. Free fantasy advice.
Soothing. It's soothing.
Yes, Dan Strafford.
It's soothing.
Newsman Dan Strafford.
So, I was about to go into the stat here.
I want to hear this stat.
And now I dove into it more, and the stat I read was wrong, which is very frustrating.
Oh, gosh darn it. Well,
it's wrong.
But then what did you think it was going to be?
You know what? Hold on.
Are we talking about that single?
No, I'm not talking about the single. Okay, here we go. I do have... It's not that fun of a stat, but it's still fun. George Springer has 5 home runs now on the year.
Yeah.
4 out of the 5 are leadoff home runs. Mm-hmm. I thought all 5 were, and I thought all 5 came against Seattle because they played Seattle so many damn times. But only 4 out of 5 were leadoff, which is still crazy.
Still good.
3 out of those 4 came against Seattle. So there you go.
Okay, you know what I thought you was going to say? I thought you was going to say that all 5 of them have come on the first pitch of the game.
That would have been freaking nuts.
That would have been crazy right then.
Well, I mean, what was pretty crazy is he hit a single that was 113 miles per hour.
Statcast.
It was harder than his home run. I mean, he crushed a foul ball that looked like it was going forever.
He's locked in. This guy's locked in.
Well, he's locked in, but he only has 9 hits. 5 of which are home runs. But yes, he is locked in, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've watched Met
games.
You
complain about everything.
Yes.
I feel like I've watched Met games, and I've watched pretty much every Seattle and Houston game.
Can we call your girlfriend on the air right now and ask her about the out of work Greg Sussman life and what it takes to make? Well, maybe I shouldn't say what it takes to make him happy and keep him patient and smiling.
I would say she would think I'm pretty patient.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think when it just comes to fantasy, I just get my... I don't have a... Like, my dad taught me this when I was much younger, because he played fantasy before I did. You know?
Yeah, it was.
He's older than me.
Dad, yeah.
He's older than me, right? So he played fantasy. So he... And then he was never playing the big money leagues, Matt Modica, or Tout Wars like you, Corey.
No.
You know, he wasn't that...
No. I understand. Everybody's at their own level.
Right. And he had less losses than I do. I mean, if Lance Berkman would go over 10 for a week, he would cut. I mean, he was cutting Lance Berkman. He didn't care. And he always did very, very well in his league. And he was playing, to be fair, his ESPN public leagues, and that was what he did, and still
cool.
does, and still does today. And I think what we kind of underestimate is the majority of fantasy players do that is just play their public leagues or their private home leagues. And he's like, you know what? Just because the guy's name is so and so, why am I holding on to him? They stink. I'm going to go get for the hot player, and that was how he believed. And I don't go his that far. Like, I'm not dropping Edwin Encarnacion, who's been, you know, in the 100s, like Corey brought up. But I won't stick around to these guys that like I that stink early, that I don't feel anything for.
Like we mentioned, if they're young guys, no track record, that's fine. But I mean, guys that are proven, you just have to hold on to.
I understand that. Let's get into Houston here. George Springer hits his 5th home run last night. It was a leadoff shot of Ariel Miranda. Alex Bregman, 2 for 5. Bregman also had a nice game because Bregman had an RBI. Jose Altuve went 2 for 5, RBI, and a run scored. Also stole his second base of the year. Yuli Gurriel in this one went 3 for 4, got caught stealing, and he got picked off, and he almost like got hurt in a big collision with Gerard Dyson that you probably saw because you're watching the game.
Yes, I actually tweeted that out, the picture of that. That looked like it was going to be real ugly, like a flashback to Cliff Floyd back in the day when, you know, his arm just got blown up at first base. I mean, Goriel's a guy, too. I think he has interest in deep leagues and, you know, somebody maybe on a watch list in a 12-teamer.
I agree with that.
Put
I agree with that.
Check next to his name.
Carlos Correa, 0 for 5. Carlos Beltran goes 2 for 5 for the Seattle Mariners. Everybody had a hit except Leonis Martin and Carlos Ruiz in this one. No Gene Segura, so the lineup's all changed around. Gerard Dyson goes up to the top. Mitch Haniger stays in the 2 spot. And it's going to be Taylor Motter starting at shortstop right now for Seattle. What does that mean? Probably nothing for us.
Mitch Haniger is just... He's killing. Every time I see him, he's either getting a double or a home run.
Or striking out.
Yeah, or striking out. But
yesterday, 0 strikeouts. He walked 3 times. He was all over the field. And I agree. Every time we go over this, every single morning, we talk about all these games. We talk about all these players. And Mitch Haniger's always on base. Always on base, seemingly.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, right now he's paying early dividends for his owners. He's, like I said, he's hitting some home runs. He's stolen a base. So, and with the Gene Segura out, he's going to remain up top there. I do like seeing Gerard, as a Gerard Dyson owner, I do like seeing him in the leadoff spot. So, that's one positive to take from it.
Let's go to the pitching performances here, because that's what I really wanted to get into. Joe Musgrove's a guy that I was very, very high on in the spring, and it was annoying because it was before everybody else was super-duper high on him, and then everyone got on board the Joe Musgrove train.
You discovered him.
I didn't discover him. I liked him last year, and then I was like, you know, this guy's pretty good. Two very similar outings here in his first 2 starts. The first game, he went 5 innings, allowed 2 runs, 2 strikeouts, 5 hits. Last night, against both games against Seattle, 5 innings, 3 runs, again, 2 strikeouts. He had 7 hits. Things kind of went awry after the Gerard Dyson play at first base with Yuli Gurriel. Pitching in the 6th inning, allowed a couple of hits, and then they pulled him. Will Harris got him out of that little jam. What do you think of Joe Musgrove thus far, Mo?
I think Joe Musgrove is a good back-of-the-end rotation option. The problem with Joe Musgrove is he doesn't miss enough bats. That's where he's going to... His strong point is he shouldn't be walking people. He's got really good control. And, you know, with the Colin McHugh news, I mean, I'm not really a Mike Fiers guy. I think he has the ability to stay in this rotation long-term. So, like I said, if he's in the back of your rotation, if your expectations aren't of him being like a 1 or a 2, but a guy that could pitch to, say, 370, all right. The strikeouts is the one thing he's not really... I mean, he might have a couple of games here and there where he'll get some strikeouts, but I don't think that's his strong suit.
No, it's definitely not. I'm looking at some of his peripherals. That's what the touts say right now, and it's not his – wow, he needs to do a better job of striking people out.
But what really pissed me off in this game was the Ken Giles performance.
Kenny Giles comes in, and it does not go well at all.
I mean, it was a non-save situation.
Non-save situation. They bring him in, 7-3 ball game, and he lost 2 runs.
The only saving grace was Luke Gregerson got absolutely blown up the other day. But it's something that I just don't want to deal with. I went through this last year with Ken Giles. It was even worse. He wasn't even getting saves. They pretty much started with Gregerson. Then they went to Will Smith. But I do not want to see this guy lose the, or even put these guys in the conversation.
I got to ask a question. Corey, I don't want anyone to lose their job. You know, I'm not trying to get anyone fired here. But why does Casey Feen still have a job? Casey Feen's a middle reliever for Seattle, right? And I'm sure he's a nice man, he's a nice gentleman. He's 33 years old from California.
He has a family.
He's got a family. He does. But this guy, he pitches very, very poorly every time he pitches. Like, against the Angels, remember last week, he didn't get anybody out, and he got 4 runs. And yesterday, he pitched a couple innings, allowed 1 run. The game before that, you know, 2 games ago, 2 innings, 2 runs.
I don't think Seattle's going to be long for him. He's not a guy. Yeah. I think they'll be calling somebody else.
I got nothing against Casey Feen. I'm sure he's a good guy. I just don't want to pitch him for my team. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. I don't want to pitch him for mine either.
Yeah. Oh, he's the nephew of two politicians, the first husband and wife in California history to serve as state legislature together.
Well, I mean, Seattle really needs to get their act. Like we say, it's early, but they're 2-7. They blew that horrible game on Sunday. They're a much better team. They will get it on track, but, you know, you don't want Casey Fiends of the world ruining your season.
Hey, Corey, are you happy that it's now taking to 9:13, an hour and 13 minutes into our program for me to get to Colorado? You didn't want to do that.
I was dreading that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
An hour and 13 minutes is pretty good.
That is pretty good. It's not that you should have heard it yesterday.
Well, I wasn't here.
But if you would have heard it, you would have been like, I got to go put a damn lineup in because Jared Wheat was not going to make it out the first inning.
Do you think I would have put a DFS lineup in if I was sitting here?
You would have had to. It was so the end of the world. The Colorado Rockies, Jared Weaver, is going to be 78-32. Mm-hmm. 3-2 was the final
3-2
score.
Was the final score. Jared Weaver actually pitched 6 innings, 2 runs, didn't walk anybody, 5 strikeouts. That's a quality start.
He actually did pretty damn good.
Yeah. It is remarkable.
See, this is the thing about the Colorado thing, because it's like, but it's this is why I avoid the Colorado
but
slate.
Honestly, though, like Tony said, if you purchase the guys that probably you should have purchased.
That hit, yeah.
You know, the Charlie Blackman, the Cargo, the Arenado, they all homered.
They all homered. Yeah. All 3 of them homered.
True. But that's not going to be enough for you to win a tournament.
No. No, it's not. In fact, so all 3 of those guys that Modica just mentioned, Blackman, Cargo, Arenado, they all homer. And that was 3 of the 4 hits Colorado had all night. The other one was Tony Walther's double. That was it. Against Jared Weaver. And
the gas can of all gas
against
cans.
Miguel Diaz. That's it.
Jared Weaver.
That's it. That's all they had.
The apocalypse was avoided yesterday.
How hot, how good. We talk about guys that have been really, really hot. We mentioned Mitch Haniger. Another one of these names, scorching hot, is Manny Margot out there in San Diego.
M&M's make friends.
343 average, 395 OBP. Manny Margot, it's his 3rd home run of the season, a leadoff shot. He's got 3 home runs. He's got 5 ribbies here on the year. We obviously knew he had speed. Like, we drafted him for the speed. And thus far, he got 1 stolen base compared to the 3 home runs. He's striking out a lot, but he's hitting the ball, man.
He's hitting the ball, but it's the speed. That's why you want to have him. Does he hit 10 home runs? I'm not sure. I know.
He had 3 of them already.
I remember like Adrian Gonzalez a year or two ago had like 6 homers in the first 5 games and he finishes with like 20. You know, it's baseball's a long season. That's why you can't project out after like a month and stuff. It's just, it's too dangerous. I think I'm very happy. I got a couple of Margot shares. I'll take the home runs. I'm not going to complain. But I'm looking forward to like 33 stolen bases on the season.
I'd rather own him than Tim Anderson, Gore, just for the record.
For the record, I think that's right.
That makes sense.
I've paid hard. But I still think Tim Anderson is going to do what you paid.
What I drafted him for.
You drafted him
for. All right. Will Myers went 1-for-3. Eric Ivar also went 1-for-3. Will Myers had his 2nd triple here of the year. What about this dude, Antonio? How do I pronounce his last name?
Senzatella.
Yeah, I mean, he's
a baseball reference.
He's pitched pretty well in his 2 appearances.
Good job with baseball reference.
I don't know a whole lot about him.
You don't know much about him.
I went the choice between him or Freeland. I went with Freeland. Was that a wise move? Honestly, it was more like throwing a dart. I went with the pedigree. I went with the kid that had
it's
the
not
pedigree.
Here. He's not a baseball reference.
You know,
you're not spelling it right.
I am. I copied it from ESPN.
The impressive thing as
Senzatella, it's very obvious. Antonio Senzatella. Senzatella. Antonio Senzatella.
Wait a minute. are you making ethnic? Are you making an ethnic joke, Greg?
I
thought you was above that.
I am above that. I was just trying to say it. It was easier for me to say it like that, for me to get it.
It helped you come out. It helped it come out better.
All of a sudden became Italian.
he might be Italian.
I'm going to bet that he's not, though.
Do you know that
for
sure?
Let's look him up. Let's see. How you spell his name?
All right, looking him up. Here we go.
Antonio.
Actually, I have his
Venezuelan.
Page. Yes.
Oh, he's from Venezuela.
He's Venezuelan.
See, you made a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, boy. His mother died of stomach cancer.
Oh, no.
Year.
I'm yesterday?
Last year.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Antonio Senzatella. All right. Pitched well. Pitched very, very well.
He pitched well for a 2nd consecutive time.
He's from Venezuela.
And in all honesty, two very difficult ballparks. You pitched in Miller Park,
and of course, Miller Park in Coors yesterday.
You think it's people going to be picking him up this week?
Well, let me kind of build up on that. Okay. So I think of Kyle Freeland yesterday, right? Because you're starting today.
I don't like that.
You talk about Sensatella, another Colorado guy. These are young players, and Colorado has these younger pitchers. John Gray leads them all. Are these guys? Can we ever rely on Colorado guys? I mean, Sensatella's pitched well twice in two bad hitters' parks. We'll see what Kyle Freeland does today to try to make it two in a row. Should we be picking up guys that pitch in Colorado?
If you're not, unless you're in, with the exception, John Gray should be owned in every format, right, in my opinion.
Okay.
But Sensatella, Freeland, those are 15 teams and NL only currently.
Yeah.
They've, you know, he looked good for two starts. Freeland looked really good for one. You got to tread cautiously, you know. Especially the next outing in Coors, he could, you know, give up 11 runs.
Like Jared Weaver was supposed to yesterday.
Yeah. he could pull Jared Weaver. You know? An expected Jared Weaver.
An expected Jared Weaver. Today, Luis Perdomo pitches for San Diego. Will he get rocked?
What's
he
got? Luis Perdomo.
Perdomo is a guy that a lot of people like as like a deep, deep kind of, you know, his... I think the hitting is going to occur in this game. I'm hoping Freeland looks good. You know, my $4 investment on my bench looks a little better, but I'm going to bet on the over in this game.
Luis Perdomo is not starting today.
Oh, he's not?
He's been placed on the disabled
list. Oh, no.
Placed on the disabled list. Andy Green announced Zach Lee will get the start.
Former Dodger prospect.
Stack your Rockies.
So Zach Lee took the roster spot for Trevor Cahill, and he previously made his only big league appearance 2 years ago for the Dodgers. He comes over from Seattle. He will make the start today in Colorado.
I'm Dan Trafford. Luis Perdomo makes the start for a scratch now.
it is pretty crazy. Like the only like maybe Padre guy that I would have some sort of interest or monitor was probably Trevor Cahill because he was really good in the bullpen last year. You know, Petco isn't the old Petco, but still he pitches at Petco. But he's injured. So, I mean, it's going to get real ugly in San Diego.
So, are you going to stack Rockies again today?
I probably would. I mean, I think you have to. I mean, like I said, it's...
I'm pretty pumped about this Kyle Freeland start, I'm telling you right now. Well, we're going to be taping Corey during the start, and I'm probably going to... You're going to see me in the corner and be, God damn it.
Yeah, you're gonna be going crazy.
I mean, I will be rooting for Kyle Freeland.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. What?
You know this is like on a slant, right?
What's on a slant?
The floor. Because every morning I start off over here and and I'm just like slowly ever be over there.
Wait, I haven't had any drinks yet.
The floor is on the
slant. Somebody didn't use a level?
So Kyle Freeland is one of the starters that I'll be going with today, this afternoon. One of these guys. And the other one I actually told you about on Monday morning. Today, he makes his debut for my team. Who is it? Find out next on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
Join the family.
Kyle Freeland makes his debut for my squad today, but he's not the only one, Matty Mo. Amir Garrett.
Oh, you got, me too.
In the lineup today.
Chat Wars team.
He's on my Chat Wars team, my GST team, my other league team.
Go Ivan Nova, baby!
We also own Ivan Nova, for the record, just so you know.
So this will be fun.
It'll be a fun game.
It's in the Berg, too.
In the Berg, in Pittsburgh. Amir Garrett, Kyle Freeland, I got them both tonight, and I don't feel good about either of them.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, you know, you're taking a chance on two very young arms. I feel maybe a little more comfortable with Garrett in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
The park.
Yep.
But... And he hasn't pitched that bad in the minor leagues. I mean, who did he play for? St. John's?
St. John's basketball. Right? Mm-hmm. Amir Garrett, the local kid, makes good for us today, Corey.
I don't think he's from New York. I'm pretty certain he went to St. John's, but he's not from New York.
I didn't say he was in New York. He went to St. John's.
He said the local kid.
He went to St. John's.
That doesn't make him a local kid. I think he left St. John's, too, as a matter of fact.
Okay. I'll do some research here for you.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Reds told him it's time to come.
He's from Nevada.
He's from Las Vegas. Well, Nevada.
He's from Nevada. Then transferred to high school in California. Transferred back to Henderson, Nevada for his senior year.
Yeah.
Was a four-star basketball recruit, 68th overall in the country. Attended St. John's.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Left St. John's, right?
I'm getting there here. He transferred to Cal State Northridge.
Mm-hmm.
And was drafted in baseball.
Yeah,
and
no, then just left. No local ties.
No, so we're done with Amir Garrett.
No, we still like him. We still think he's going to be solid. We're going to see. Listen, this is a big day for him. Obviously, he's very nervous. You know what I'm saying?
Performing. He's in your lineup.
He's in my lineup. He's performing in front of his new teammates today. So we went out there and we spent some fab to pick him up. So we want to see him. We want to see him come to play right out the gate. But we're going to be patient with the young man. So
is Jen Mar his new butler?
No, Jen Mar
Jesus,
is.
Come on.
Yeah, stop making fun of Jen.
Why is he making fun?
That was very.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
That was low brow.
I've been so good with Jen Mar.
that was low brow.
Low hanging fruit.
Yeah, exactly. don't do that to Jen Mar.
I don't know.
I mind that buffet.
So you can go. There's a buffet right there.
It's probably like $40.
I think it's like $28.
Really?
Something like that.
Wow.
$26 maybe.
I'm not rich.
You're not poor.
No. I'm not going to buy a $26 breakfast.
Well, you get eggs.
I can get eggs from McDonald's. Walk over a crackhead.
You're going to have to do that to get to eat there.
You walk in for eggs. You walk out with crack.
Greg made his first trip to the 8th Avenue McDonald's
Monday.
The other day.
Oh, really?
Monday. Yeah. How'd you like it?
I don't want to go back.
My treat Saturday morning was at the 8th Avenue McDonald's operates as a fast food joint and a meth clinic.
I'm Dan Stratford. Shout out to Dan Stratford. I love Dan Stratford.
I love Dan too.
He's all newsy with the Jets last night in Colorado.
Why don't you do a whole show talking like that?
Because I'm not like a news guy. You feel what I'm saying? If I was a news guy, I could do a whole show like that. But, you know, the Giants placed catcher Buster Posey on the 7-day concussion disabled list. Yonis Cespedes slugged 3 home runs and also added a double as the Mets demolished the Phillies on Tuesday. Braves placed outfielder Matt Kemp on a 10-day disabled list with a strained right hamstring. That's Dan Stratford.
It's good.
You like that?
He does have the voice of a generation. A very good voice.
Cincinnati Reds yesterday, they'll go in today, they'll probably win again today, I would assume. But the Reds yesterday won 6-2 over the Pirates. Rookie Davis, 4 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 3 strikeouts, 4 walks. Left this game with a forearm strain, I think they call it. I know he left it with his right hand, they say, but I believe it was a forearm strain for Rookie Davis yesterday. Reds pitched well enough to get the victory. Raisel Iglesias pitched almost 2 innings en route to his third save of the year. He's been hasn't allowed a single run all season long as Raisel Iglesias. For the Reds on the hitting side of things, Adam Duvall hits his third home run of the year, as does Scooter Jeanette. He also hits his third home run of the season. And Scooter started second base yesterday. Jose Peraza went 1-for-5. He stole his third base of this season, while my guy, Eugenio Suarez, went 2-for-4, 375.
Eugenio Suarez.
Eugenio. Thank you for the correction.
No problem.
I always get that one wrong, too. Eugenio Suarez batting 375 now on the year with a 500 OBP. Devin Mesoraco, your guy, Corey, could be back next week.
Oh, he's done. He's done. He's out.
Where is the patience?
He's going to get hurt again. To be honest with you, he's going
to
get hurt again.
And to be fair to Corey, he's got about 5 guys in the DL already.
Yeah, I can't hang on to everybody. Have that luxury I had J.D. Martinez, Adrian Beltre. I got this Park guy that's in the damn minors. He got cut. His ass got cut, too.
For the Pirates, Jameson Taillon pitched well. 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 4 strikeouts. Your boy Juan Nicasio gets the loss, Modica.
Juan Nicasio does take the loss, and another arm, I believe it's Trevor Williams, who gave up 3 runs, is a guy that was pitching pretty well to start the season and might have been a back-end addition to the Pirates' rotation. I guess he'll remain in the bullpen for now.
For the Pirates, they had 6 hits. All 6 were singles here. Starling Marte finally steals his first base, and he made it count. He's still home.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Gregory Polanco steals his second bag of the year.
I was happy to see that.
And you were happy to see him running. The Baltimore Orioles fell to Boston last night, 8-1. Drew Pomeranz pitches very well.
He did pitch very well. I got to watch some of that as well. He did pitch. I have to give a tip of the cap to Drew Pomeroy.
Comes off the DL, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, struck out 6 batters. Kind of picked up where he left off in San Diego last year. So he pitched really, really well. For Baltimore, Dylan Bundy didn't pitch badly. 6 1/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts for Dylan Bundy.
I mean, Bundy's a guy you got to keep your eye on. I think he has the potential to really make a big step. If he can stay healthy and pitch the innings this season, it's really fun to watch him. He's really maturing and taking that next step.
He's starting to come around and getting into his own now, so I'm down with that.
The Red Sox, of course, led by Mitch Moreland, who had a double. Christian Vasquez, how about that? He has a triple. Pablo Sandoval had a couple of RBIs in this game. Andrew Benintendi went 3 for 5. Dustin Pedroia leading off 2 for 4, 4 RBIs. Mookie Betts back. He had 2 for 5. Xander Bogaerts returned to the lineup yesterday, finally, after being on the bereavement list. He did not have a hit. He was 0 for 3. Vasquez also stole a base yesterday, Christian.
Yeah, Vasquez went beast mode yesterday.
Beast mode. Doesn't start much, but when he does.
Mitch Moreland is leading MLB with 6 doubles.
Great stat. Good stat right there.
Good job, man.
I like that one. Vasquez is 4 for 4. For Baltimore,
you all right, Greg?
Yeah, I'm all right. Wellington Castillo went 2 for 3. Chris Davis went 1 for 3. Adam Jones 1 for 4 yesterday for Baltimore. Hey, you guys, let's take a break. Let's take a break. We're going to come back.
See if I can get some bacon.
Corey, going to see if he can get some bacon. We're going to come back. I want to talk about some of these teams in the National League East because we have another injury in Washington we want to talk about. We'll get to Washington, St. Louis, Miami, and Atlanta. I'll also talk about Arizona and San Francisco, the last 3 games we didn't talk about from last night. We'll do all those on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio. Back here, Roto Experts.
In the morning.
In the morning. Hey, guess what? The Fantasy Sports Radio app where you can listen to us live every single day is totally free. Completely free. And you can download it. Listen to us 24/7. On demand. Roto Experts will be there. Old School Fantasy will be there. We're always around. And you can listen to us whenever you want, in your pocket, any time of the day. You're at the gym, driving home from work, just before you get your fantasy lineups. Turn on FNTSY Radio. Totally free, Corey.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The app is rocking and rolling. You know what I'm saying? So download that for your Android and iOS devices.
iTunes, you will. But I actually listened to it on my commute to Staten Island yesterday.
Oh, how about that?
I was trying to get better every day.
Yeah,
I was
no
to
doubt.
See what mm-hmm. I you know, messed up.
I like that. You can just pop it in.
Yeah, it's like having the podcast is pretty damn cool.
You listen to? Did you listen to Best Friends Forever?
Yesterday I did not.
Today's gonna be a good show today.
What y'all talking about?
On the show today, we're talking about, you know how people like you, you come out and...
People like me?
People like you come out, and in general, you just spout off against the Mets, right? You root against the Mets, right?
Oh, yeah,
besides
the New York Mets.
That's people like you, right? So we came on here on Monday, and we were watching Michael Pineda's over there. We're hosting the show, and we were talking about the Yankees, and Mike Florio sitting here clapping his hands when if a runner would get on base. I'm like, what are you rooting so hard against the Yankees for? Oh, I hate the Yankees. Well, I'm like... who cares? So today on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, I want to know if people get that passionate about rooting against other people's fantasy teams, just like they do in real life teams. Like Corey Parsons, perfect example again. If Adam Rona's team was over 30,
I'm going on. Yeah, I'm so throwing a damn party.
So I want to know if my Fantasy Best Friends Forever, Michael Florio, Frank Stample, feel the same way.
I'll say this. It's not rooting against, obviously if a team's in first, you're rooting against that team. But it's more about players you don't own that I'm rooting against in a way. Like if I have 0 shares,
right?
You know, George Springer, I don't want to see him hit 35 homers and steal like 20 bases this year.
Right.
Don't want to see that.
But so what we're going to talk about on the BFFs today is people outwardly, like hardcore rooting against somebody. Like I'm talking like George Springer strikes out, you go big fish.
Yeah!
So you can show
me. Yeah, no, I like that. That's a good idea. You know what I'm saying? I root passionately against.
You do. I know you do. So I was talking to Mike and you every day. Like that's kind of how I came up with it. So I think it'll be a fun show today on the BFFs.
Nice
that
job.
That does sound very good.
So tune in on demand.
Corey and the King are always going Met Yankee.
Exactly. Cowboys, Seattle, right? Yes. Like I'm sure Corey roots against Seattle. Just so
not really.
Scott's not happy.
I don't have no problem with the Seahawks.
You don't want Scott to be happy.
It's not that serious with Seattle. I don't have no beef with the Seahawks. I'm more. I have more of a beef with the New York Mets.
Okay.
Than anybody.
I don't know what you have a beef for. Why?
I think Matt Medica is my friend.
Yes.
We haven't won since 1986.
But their fans act like they like. I don't like fan bases that is like your team is winning, and it like. It's like it doesn't become about your team. It becomes about your rivals losing. You feel what I'm saying? You enjoy your rivals losing more than...
Yeah. They're like... Mets fans are like the little brother.
Exactly.
But it's also... New York fans in general, it depends who, what team is the hot team. Because in the 80s, the mid-80s to late 80s, New York City became Mets town. There's no doubt about that. And then when the worm turned and come like the mid-90s on... The Yankees were just killing it. It was Yankee Town.
See, I don't think. I get what you're saying with that. I don't think it really goes like that, though. I think it takes a long time to flip a city.
I saw it in the 80s. And look, you have your diehards that are going to be on, you know, Mets or Yankees, no matter what the situation. But the city in general, it's just it's not even the city. It's people in general. Yeah. They just love being part of a winner, you know.
Yeah, I feel you.
People will get on that bandwagon and, you know, put me in, coach.
A couple years ago when the Mets was in the World Series, my sister, my little nephew, had on a Mets shirt. And I was like, what the hell? Are you crazy? Take this damn shirt off. How dare you?
Let that child walk naked.
Yeah, let him go to school. Let him go to school naked. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd probably get in trouble. But I'm just like. Oh, that's ridiculous. So, I don't want no. I don't like that stuff like that. But say for example, the Knicks and the Nets. I don't think this. The Knicks suck.
Yeah, they're pitiful. The Nets are so irrelevant.
But the Nets will never be a Nets town. And I'm not saying that is the same thing with the New York Mets. The New York Mets amazingly have a big fan base. You know what I'm saying? With diehard passionate fans. A little bit too diehard and passionate for my liking. I'll be honest with you. I don't like Met fans to be happy. I want Matt to be happy with his fantasy baseball and his life and moving, you know, whatever, and everything he's happy with. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the New York Mets, and he's like,
I would take winning an overall fantasy event than the Mets winning the World Series, if you're given the choice.
Have you gotten to the point yet where you... I still have a hard time rooting against my team when it comes to fantasy purposes.
No, it's very tough. Like, last night when the Mets were up like 14-2, I wouldn't have mind Tommy Joseph hitting like, you know, two solo home runs or something like that. Yeah, we were up 14-2.
At that point. But what if it was 2-2? You see what I'm saying?
I'm going to want them to win, but say it was the end of the season and the difference was the Mets go into the playoffs or me winning an overall championship. It's me winning the overall championship. Yeah. The Wilpons are cheap as shit. They don't care about me.
Yeah, no, see, that's what I'm saying.
You got to look. Oh, you gotta look, I'm, like I said yesterday, God-fearing man. Always try to do the right thing. But you got to look out for number one, too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know what I'm saying? You can't be a person of greed. But, hey, have you ever won overall?
No, I have not.
What's the closest you've been?
I got 30. I mean, I have a couple top 50 finishes. I think 36 was the highest I got in the main event.
Yeah.
You know, a couple second. You know, the main event itself is truly a tough task.
I'm going to take down an overall at some point myself, too. You know, I can feel it coming. I'm getting closer to it. You know what I'm saying?
That's the goal. That's
and
the
you're going to do the same thing,
yeah,
too.
That's,
you're
that's, win. That's the ultimate
goal. I mean,
goal.
The overall, that means you're the best of the best.
It sure does.
Your eyes are looking nice and blue today.
Thank you.
Not as blue as Sealy's, though.
No. I don't have those kind of blue eyes.
No, Sealy is...
I got a little green. They're a little greeny to be that.
Yeah, I see that, too. Sealy's...
You look a little Chris Bryant today.
It's better than being Chris Brown. Yesterday, Washington beat St. Louis 8-3. The Nationals lost their second shortstop in 2 days as Steven Drew goes down with an injury that's, according to Dusty Baker, even worse than Trey Turner's, which means that every day Wilmer Defoe will be the starting shortstop for the near term. This whole injury, Matt Modica, has led Adam Eaton to that leadoff, though.
Well, it finally happened to work out by default, by injuries and all that stuff. Wilmer Defoe, you know, he was actually batted second, so that was a good thing for him. How is that going to play out going forward? You know, maybe they keep him in there. Hopefully for the Trey Turner owners, it's only a 10-day DL. It didn't sound like it was serious, but he wasn't even supposed to go on that. So let's see what happens in the next week.
We will we'll have no choice but to see what happens next week. Bryce Harper, 1-for-2, 3 walks, 2 runs scored. Jason Wirth hits his 3rd homer of the season in this one. Matt Wieters hit his 1st of the year while Daniel Murphy hits his 2nd.
He saw his new teammates, saw him hit a home run.
He's batted .435. Wieters has been great.
Oh, my God.
So you should probably drop Russell Martin and pick up Matt Wieters.
If he's available, but he should have been drafted.
In a one-toucher league, not necessarily.
Look at Gio Gonzalez. I mean, it was last April. He was pretty phenomenal last April.
Doing it again now.
It didn't sustain for the rest of the year. And once again, he's off to a blazing start.
7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs. Only one of them were earned. He struck out 6, did not walk anybody. Then he had Blanton come in, let up a run. And Blake Treinen comes in, walks a guy, but that's it. No runs let up. Good outing from Blake Treinen then.
Yeah, he needed to have a good outing. He was
because he was kind of struggling a little bit.
Yeah, everybody in that bullpen, to be honest with you, Cody Glover, Sean Kelly, yep, they're all struggling.
Joe Blanton too.
So yeah, Joe Blanton. So I mean,
not yet Joe Nathan though.
I mean, come on, please.
Just wait for it.
Yeah, it's coming. Dusty.
It's coming.
Joe Nathan gets called up and he's the closer. I mean, I kind of believe what you're saying, too. At some point, we're going to see this guy.
Lance Lynn, 5 innings, 5 hits, 6 runs, only 4 more earned. He walked 4 strikeouts. He got beat up in this one.
This was not a good matchup for Lance Lynn. The Nationals can stack the left-handed bats. They did, he pretty much had a lefty throughout for the, Defoe, I believe, is a switch hitter. So they had a lot of left-handed bats, and they had very good left-handed bats as well. So he's not the guy that I was concerned with in this game. It's the Cardinal closer, who now has a lot of run in every game. 5 earned on the season. I think he's given up like 6 hits in 3 innings or so. He's a guy that's got to get under control. A guy that I really thought was a very safe option this season, but he is struggling early on.
As you said, and I talked to Nando about this when we were drafting together. He liked him better than anybody. After Aroldis Chapman, he wanted O next. I was like, dude, we have to take Kenley Jansen. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm glad you talked some sense.
I'm going to put my foot down. Like, I know you want. I have to take Kenley Jansen over him.
In Nando's defense, I really thought that O was a supreme. The guy pitched tremendous last season, and maybe it's just early season struggles. Got to get he's got a very long leash, but what's his name is back.
Trevor Rosenthal's back.
Trevor Rosenthal.
Yes, he is.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Former closer, St. Louis. Randall Grichuk hit his 2nd home run of the year. Amedes Diaz hits his 3rd of the season. Diaz off another hot start, just like he was last year. Yeah. Not walking though, which is annoying. Bet 278 though, a bunch of home runs. Grichuk now on the season is batting. There he is, 194. So he hit a couple home runs, not much else.
That's very Randall Grichuk like.
Yes, it certainly is. Dexter Fowler, your guy Corey, he was 1-for-4.
Yep, no doubt. Dexter Fowler, my team. He had a couple stolen bases, right?
Yep.
Earlier this week,
Marlins
having a good week in stolen bases so
that's
far.
That's good. Marlins
I'm doing everything. This damn team ain't hitting no home runs.
I had a great offensive night last night. I have a lot of Cespedes. I have some Duda.
Dude, my OBP. In a league, my OBP this week is like 230. It's terrible.
That's not good, Greg.
No, it's not, Corey. Why do you think I need to drop my whole team?
Yeah, true.
The Marlins won 8-4 last night. Dan Straley, 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. Tell you what, the Marlins will take that every time.
Yeah, I was on the. I tried getting away, pulling a fast one. You remember that game show, Press Your Luck with the No Whammies?
I love Press Your Luck. No Whammies.
Yeah, that was one of the best. But I tried sneaking Bartolo in there this week, and the big guy got hammered.
We played Press Your Luck before on the show.
You played him too?
We played Press Your Luck on the show before.
We have,
yes.
How'd it go?
Not in the mothership we played it.
That was one of my creations. Did I win?
I don't know if you played, to be honest.
Oh, they probably had a ban on me.
Yeah.
Shut up and sit in the damn corner.
AJ Ramos, clean inning, two strikeouts yesterday for Miami, for Atlanta. As the guys just said, Big Bart got blown up. Four innings, six hits. Sorry, seven hits, six runs, just man, two strikeouts
man,
there.
Come on, Bartolo.
For Miami, Christian Yelich stole his second base of the season. Marcell Ozuna hits not one, but two home runs, one off Cologne, one off Mike Fultonevich.
Six RBIs.
Six rivies there for Marcell Ozuna, who on the season batting .423.
He's playing good so far.
That's an understatement.
He's always had the 30 home run.
Don't get cute, Greg.
Giancarlo Stanton over three. Struck out all three times he was at bat. While JT Realito, well, one for four, but he's batting .462 still. For Atlanta, two hits for Brandon Phillips. He's on your doubt worst team. Two for three. Two doubles. Nick Markakis hit his first home run of the year. Markakis bat .296. Rough couple days for him to start the year off. Gotten the average back up pretty quickly. Not only did Brandon Phillips, though, had those two for three, stole two bases yesterday.
And so did my man Ender Inciarte.
Yes, he did. His first base of the year.
I do love Brandon Phillips this year. I just thought he was such a bargain at the price he went. Everybody wanted Dansby Swanson. I still believe Brandon Phillips out-earns Dansby Swanson for 2017.
That got him in the reserve round.
Yes, you did. Good job. Good job. Last game from last night, it was Robbie Ray and the Diamondbacks defeating Jeff Samardzija and the San Francisco Giants by the score of 4-3. 6 2/3, Robbie Ray went. 4 hits, 5 walks, 8 strikeouts, and 0 runs let up. He threw 111 pitches.
Here's the book on Robbie Ray.
Give it to us.
It is the two issues that are preventing him from being possibly jumping into an elite class. Is the command and the control. He's not commanding the. I mean, look, he didn't give him any runs yesterday, which is great. Struck out 8. But the command, he's still getting hit hard. And that's got to, for me, be location. The defense helped him out last night. Everybody was saying he was the unluckiest pitcher last year. But the defense was positioned well, helped him out last night. The 5 walks, you know, he got lucky with that. Because you walk 5 guys and give up 0 runs. You got lucky.
Yes, you did. And, well, to be fair, Matt, he had very unlucky last year, so he deserves some
you know,
luck.
I mean, look, I think the talent is there. He's young, and this could be a huge move for him, but he has to make those two corrections.
Your boy Fernando Rodney made it interesting.
Rodney is, you know, like we say, not all saves are created equal.
No, they're not. Hey, so we speculating on Dyson, obviously, today, Matt Bush being your guy. We speculated on Tony Watson for, like, months, and, of course, Jenmar. Why are we speculating on Fernando Rodney more?
You know who might be the guy? Believe it or not, is Archie Bradley.
Really?
Really?
He's pitching really well in the bullpen. And, I mean, I personally wouldn't remove him from what he's doing right now. I mean, he's been on pretty much lockdown. He's getting the strikeouts. He's got a little velo jump there. If Rodney can't do it, I mean, they're going to keep giving him a couple more chances.
To me, it's really interesting because they went with J.J. Hoover to end the 7th. I can't believe that guy's still in the league. Jorge De La Rosa, who was a non-roster invite, he pitched the 8th in this one. He allowed a run, and then Rodney the 9th. This bridge is going to crack. I mean, again, Arizona 7-2. They're my team. I told you that. Mm-hmm. This bridge has a lot of holes in it, well, and it's going to fall.
That's why I think it opens up an opportunity for a guy like Archie Bradley, a guy that they want to see succeed.
But you don't think he'll be in the rotation ultimately?
I mean, right now, I don't think, you know, there's a spot for him. I mean, I think Robbie De La Rosa is actually coming back in a couple of weeks.
That's another name.
That could be interesting. But, I mean, if you got a guy who's pitching, you've been wanting this talent to develop, somebody you've invested in, and he was highly talented. Him and Dylan Bundy both. And if he's got an opportunity to keep succeeding right now, why not? Look, the Diamondbacks, as you say, could make some moves this year. I wouldn't hesitate to give him the opportunity.
Jeff Samardzija, 6 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, 4 walks, 7 strikeouts. 2 games in a row, Samardzija pitches deep into the game. Strikes out a ton of guys, but lets up a lot of runs.
The encouraging thing is it seems the strikeouts are coming back. They took a little dip last year. Samardzija will give you the innings. That's one of his strong points.
Yep.
Didn't allow a home run yesterday.
Good.
That's a good sign.
Absolutely.
You know, pitching at home is a perk for him, pitching at AT&T Park. You know, the 3 runs, you know,
it's okay. Good. It's a quality start.
6 2/3, that's, you know, you really can't kill him for that. The walks you want to get under control.
Buster Posey, obviously, on the DL. So Nick Hundley starting this game, went 3 for 5. Is Nick Hundley a short-term pick for someone?
Well, if you wanted to, you could have dropped Martin for Nick Huntley.
Yeah, there you go. You could have done that. In this one, 4 for 5 was Eddie Nunez's 5th stolen base of the year.
Yep, he's up there. That? He's running wild. I got to say, if you drafted him, you're smiling. Good. I have 0 shares.
For Arizona, you have Manny Tomas. He's a double. Woo! Jake Lamb went 2 for 3. He had 3 RBIs, a couple of walks.
Every time I ask Manny Tomas do something, I think about you, Greg.
I see.
Me too. I even told him
you tweeted me or texted me. Yeah, that was great. All right, take a break. Final break of the show. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Send any of the OGs. This is Fantasy Sports Radio Networks. This is the Road Experts in the Morning. And we will be right back for the final time here on Wednesday. Final couple minutes here of the Roto Experts. Matt Bodega, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman. We're wrapping it all up, Matt. And finally, on a Wednesday here, we got a full slate of games.
Full slate of games.
Took long enough, man,
this
week.
Day baseball. Ranger playoff hockey tonight.
There's a lot going on for you. Yeah. I got a lot of TV to catch up on tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm having a hard time trying to get some sleep and watch baseball at the same time. You know, these late night games, you know, try and go to bed, but I did pass out for about 20 minutes in the Met game. It was a long day. I was on Staten Island, drove back, but I was up to about 1.
A lot of, you know, cold baseball day games today, as Matt mentioned. You got New York and Tampa, day off yesterday for opening day, play again today. Jordan Montgomery makes his MLB debut. He earned that 5th starter job, and he pitches today against Tampa Bay. What are you expecting in Jordan Montgomery's debut?
I'm really not sure, but as you say, he earned that spot. And I want to give a kudos to the Yankees for having another day game. You know, not enough teams do this.
Agree. It's good stuff.
I think that's great for the fans and everything. And it should be. I'm curious to see what Montgomery does, you know, when the lights are on and everything.
I'm excited. But you know what? They had a competition. Mm-hmm. They did not want him to win. And
he totally deserved it.
He pitched the best, and they gave it to him.
That's the way to do it.
I appreciate when teams do that. They earn it.
Blake Snell, I'm interested to see him. I was comparing Tyler Glass now to Blake Snell of last year. My fear was he was just going to walk too many guys, and we saw that the other night. He did exactly that.
Right.
So hopefully Blake Snell can take a step forward in year two.
The other 1 o'clock game today, Detroit, Minnesota, once again a day game here. Michael Fulmer versus Kyle Gibson, Matt.
Fulmer's got to be the play. Some people do like Kyle Gibson. I'm not one of them. Fulmer, I'm not the biggest Fulmer fan neither. I think he's good. I think he had a magical month last year, a historical month. And after that, he wasn't the same guy. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. These Tiger games have been low scoring.
You know, can I be honest with you? Kind of boring.
Yeah.
Tigers, so, Twins have not excited me.
I think.
And before that, what do we have? Tigers, White Sox, or Twins, White Sox? Again, not interested.
Oh, I got to think Miggy and V-Mart do start to
Heat up
at some point. They're just too good.
And then at 3:10, it's the main event, as some would say.
Some may
think it's very missable.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the Colorado Rockies, the San Diego Padres, Zach Lee versus Kyle Freeland.
I'm getting a free shot at Freeland today. He's on my bench, and for a $4 speculation, I'm willing to see what happens.
4 o'clock, you got the Nats and the Cardinals. Max Scherzer pitches for the second time this season against Mike Leake.
Max is just magnificent. What that guy's done those last 4 years. The guy, since he came to the Nationals, has pulled off the trifecta. You know, the no-hitter, the perfect game, the 20-strikeout game. He's got 2 Youngs in 4 years, 1 in each league. You really can't ask for anything more.
No, you cannot. And at 6 o'clock in Cleveland, you got the White Sox shot of Cleveland. Dark Holland on the mound versus Danny Salazar. The other big game tonight, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, because, you know, Amir Garrett's pitching. So that's a big deal, Matt.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Ivan Nova.
Dude.
I got Nova shares. I don't got Nova.
We are a team here on the Road of Express, and I'm going to need you to root for Amir Garrett. Like, why can't we get, like,
How about this? Amir Garrett gets a quality start.
Yeah.
Ivan Nova gets the win. I'm down with that.
Why can't it be like a quality start with like 6 innings and 1 run ball? And Ivan Nova wins 1-0.
I'll take that
like,
as well.
That's good for you.
I'll take that. See I'm a negotiator.
Now you're a team player. Now you're a team player, and I was able to figure it out for you.
You made me see the light.
All right, Rangers, Canadiens tonight. Kick off the Stanley Cup playoffs, 7 p.m. Eastern. What is your pick for the series without being biased?
Without being biased, like the like I was heckled this morning when I was wearing my jersey walking in by the 8th Avenue McDonald's. Mm. Some crackhead was yelling at me, Canadians in six,
Which crackhead?
I don't know. There's so many out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm hoping the Rangers can do it, but Carey Price is just so damn good, and we just can't beat him.
So, what's the pick?
I said Canadians in six.
You did say Canadians in six, sorry. Canadians in six.
Maybe that guy has mental powers, whatever I'm trying to say. Soothsayer, something like that.
Soothsayer, the crackhead soothsayer. More from the crackhead soothsayer, Corey Parson, next on the Old School Fantasy Hour. Scott Engel will be here, George Kurtz will be here. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, the Roto Experts in the morning. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Have a great one. We'll see you later, everybody. Bye-bye.